You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm delighted to welcome Carla Fox back to the show. Carla has spent many years as a shamanic practitioner in the Peruvian traditions. She has trained other practitioners in the United States and abroad in the shamanic traditions and energy healing, and also maintains an energy healing practice in Southwest Colorado, where she currently lives. In March of 2012, while attending a workshop at the Monroe Institute of Virginia, an exciting new healing protocol was shown to her by her higher guidance during one of the altered state journeys into the quantum field. She calls this new protocol quantum sphere healing, and it has become the main healing modality that she uses with her clients. Carla's focus of service has now shifted into the quantum realms, higher dimensions, and alternate realities where so much more can be seen, known, and worked with during a healing session. In addition to offering quantum sphere healing sessions, she also gives workshops where anyone can learn how to use this new healing protocol. Carla has three main websites, including a wonderful blog that I follow, and you can find all three of those from her one site, which is www.quantumstargate.com, and be sure to check out her blog at the carlafoxblog.blogspot.com. So let's welcome Carla back to the show now. Hi, Carla. How are you?
I'm fine, Lance. Thanks for having me on your show again. This is a thrill.
Well, it's been long enough. Huh?
It's a thrill as always.
Oh, yes. Well, it's always a thrill, yeah. You never know what's going to come out of our mouths, right?
That's for sure.
One thing, I was reading your blog recently, and there was, of course, we just went through another major turning point at the summer solstice, and I read from your blog that there were some energetic shifts just prior, and I think you mentioned that there were other people who felt that as well. I thought maybe we could start there to see, what the current energies are doing.
Okay. Yeah, the morning of the 20th, which was last Friday, when I woke up, I knew something was definitely different. I'd had some interesting dreams, and it felt like I was not in my familiar space. And so, of course, I posted that on the blog and tuned into that energy, which pretty much lasted all day. After I posted that, I heard from several other people that they felt that there had been a shift energetically also. After we spoke on Thursday, I kind of tuned into it a little bit because I hadn't really nailed it down as far as exactly what it was. And what I got was that, for sure the Earth and maybe our solar system had encountered kind of a wisp of higher dimensional energy. Mm. I think it is attached to the spiraling of the Milky Way. I don't think it's just a free-floating thing that we ran into. And so it bumped us up in vibration, for sure.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, goodness knows we could use it.
Yeah.
It seems like the... from what I'm looking at, there's a great divide, not only the great divide that, our mutual friend George Kavassalis talks about in his book, Our Universal Journey, but mm-hmm. there's a great divide between forces of darkness and evil and the forces that would evolve and continue to prosper. So the control paradigm.
Yeah, and I refer to that as a splitting of the worlds, and I look at it more as far as the people who are on what you would call a graduation path.
Mm-hmm.
This would be their last lifetime, and they are moving forward, versus the people who need more 3D heavy experience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we are all going to evolve out of the earthly arena together, because people are just in different places. And
mm-hmm.
so, and there may be several different Earths splitting off, too.
Right.
To accommodate those who need different vibrational experiences. And I think that the shift from, it was overnight the 19th and then into the morning of the 20th, I think it had to do with that splitting of the worlds.
Well, that certainly would make sense. Those are the energetic times when that kind of event happens. And it
mm-hmm.
is literally split-second timing, since there is no time.
Yeah, yes.
So, I mean, in our world, we think that things have to happen according to some kind of linear fashion, but in reality, they're happening in multiple dimensions.
Right. And and creating different effects with each person.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all going to experience this evolutionary path a bit differently. You know, I don't agree with Andrew Bartzis when he says that we all need to get on the same page and clear the same things, and, you know, no one gets out of the earthly arena unless we all go together. I still do not see that as a possibility, because we're not all in the same place with this.
Right, right,
mm-hmm.
right. I agree with you on that one. And
yeah.
it may be that it was always like that. I mean, there was a time in my magical thinking days when, and I still engage in those on occasion, but there was a time when I truly believed that we were all going together. And
yeah.
I think that's just just that core belief or core feeling of unity consciousness that really
mm-hmm.
understands that ultimately we will all end up in the same place, that no matter who goes where, if the world split into 1,000 worlds, eventually, throughout the cycles of time, which, as we know, don't exist in no time, we all
mm-hmm.
end up in the same place. So,
right.
If you graduate in this timeline, and somebody cycles in through another two or three cycles of experiences of duality and various other polarities, then eventually, they end up in the same place, and it's as if no time has passed.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
so,
as you're saying that, I am remembering back to the time when, you know, what you're referring to, the theory was we all had to go together. And as I feel into that, that really feels like a programming that would hold us back if we had to wait
yes.
for that to happen. Yeah.
Yes. Most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had a very real experience of this when I went to a two-day weekend retreat with Amelia Benz, and it was a unity consciousness retreat. And so we experienced this very thing, that there were some people who were ready to go beyond the stars and beyond matter itself, and there were people who were still asking the question, who am I and what am I doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And so we had all these different levels of being, and out of consideration, those who were wanting to leap and really go beyond into the quantum field were holding themselves back so that the others could come with us. And it wasn't a very revealing experience that, you know, out of the love and care we have, we'll hold ourselves back. And we came mm-hmm. to the conclusion that everybody could have their experience, that we could give ourselves permission to fly beyond the universe and allow those who still felt that they were part of the big toe or the hand or the eye to be that part. And so it was quite an experience. That part of it was a big lesson for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I also feel that there is a group on this planet that will be the first through the birth canal, so to speak, and showing the way for others. So that alone may accelerate the process for other people. Perhaps not consciously, you know, on other levels of reality, but someone's got to, how would I say it? Someone has to map the way
right
out of this arena so that others can follow quicker and easier.
Absolutely. And you know, in a great shift, you know, we don't really know how they left because we don't have precise records. We just know that vast numbers have seemingly disappeared. But what if, after all these thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years of evolving and being held back and the rest of it, and the roles in duality, that this evolutionary leap was one in which we, some of us, would be leaving with our bodies? So that was introduced to me by one of my guests, Timothy J. Glenn, who had given me a soul purpose reading, and we discussed the possibility of leaving with the body. So if somebody does that, or if a small group of people start doing that, it's kind of like the shaman that was on the island that saw the boat coming and described it because the others couldn't see it.
Right.
Once somebody does it, and they say, I've done this, and you show somebody, oh, okay, it can be done. And so it's like a meme. Everybody realizes that it can be done, and the switch clicks on, and then people are doing it. So I think we're going to see a lot of things like that will be similar and beyond.
Well, and I think it will look differently for many different people, and one possibility is dissolving the body, taking it with you. If your full body vibration is high enough, that's a distinct possibility.
Mm-hmm.
For others, it may look like they died in their sleep. You know, how are we going to know? Although, in the past few months, I've also seen how, you know, I kept thinking, all right, so if certain of us go first, attain a high vibration, and feel it is our mission to come back and assist, how do we do it without getting trapped in the earthly arena again?
Yes.
And I do believe it's possible to be able to do that and come back, maybe not materialize a full body, but come back in an energy form or working in dream time, at least for a little while. And I do believe it's possible not to get trapped back here again and be able to do that.
Yes, I totally agree with you. And I think many will be facing that choice. Do they want to have that option? And for me, I would probably want to leave it open as an option, just because why not? Why not leave that door open as long as I'm not going to get stuck in it again? We don't want another. Another one of these things again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah. So I'm hopeful. And I'm sure we will be making the decision as it's appropriate to where we end up, and our, you know, guidance higher than even what we are getting right now. We'll know what to do when the time comes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So we just need to go with the flow, and surrender, I think, is important too, not to fight the changes. Keep looking at belief systems and, matrix programming and anything that holds us back. Just examine that, let it go, surrender to the higher vibrations, and just go with it.
Now, I was just reviewing George's chapter on chakras and the pineal gland. Because I know you were one of the few people that has worked with removing the chakras, and we talked about it in our last show. And as we were seeing it, it was a process of unification. Now, there's a further that it also involves the pineal gland, yes?
Right, yes.
So
and actually, I talked with George about this. I had a a private session with him, and then, of course, an interview. He interviewed me on Super Woo, and we talked about this. And I was very happy to hear that he was on the same page as I was as far as the chakra and pineal gland. Chakras are fairly easy to remove. But then I was seeing all kinds of little mesh things and structures around around my pineal gland when I was journeying in there, and realized that just because one removes the third eye chakra and the crown chakra doesn't mean the pineal gland is totally clear. And so I've been doing quite a bit of work with that and working with clients with that during their quantum sphere healing sessions. The pineal holds our genetic lineage back through time, and it holds the distortions of our DNA. And that is a layer-by-layer process addressing that. So it doesn't all just go away quickly. I see that when I do the pineal gland clearing in the context of a quantum sphere healing session, there's generally a certain theme that gets cleared. The pineal does not get cleared all at once. So it could be the theme of servant mentality. I had one of those this week. Or a theme of slavery. Or a particularly deeply ingrained extraterrestrial genetic lineage. And so that seems like it's a peeling the onion effect, clearing the pineal gland.
Can you tell us a little bit more about how that works, and how would one begin to go within and work with that area?
Mm-hmm. For those who have taken the training and know how to do the one segment of the quantum sphere healing, which involves a higher dimensional healing orb, that orb will go into the pineal to clear a specific theme. But I like George's method, where he puts the palm of his hand on his forehead and then brings energy from his core, and I always call it the core essence, your fifth dimensional core energy in your heart area. He brings it into his arm and up his arm and out his palm and targets his pineal gland and just blasts it with that higher, you know, with his higher dimensional personal energy.
Oh.
So it's like you're sending a laser beam in there. Even if you're not visual, you can do it with intent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every day, every couple of days, a person may get an inkling as far as what is the theme that's being cleared that day, or perhaps you have run into a particular theme in your life that maybe a recurring relationship issue or a recurring financial issue, or you're being hassled by ETs. You can direct that beam of light in there to clear that particular theme. And remember, it's DNA, so it's inherited from our ancestors.
Mm.
And while the healing orb during the quantum sphere healing session pops in there and goes back through time, I kind of track that and see what it's doing. And it usually goes back, for example, the ET lineages. It'll go back to when that particular, let's say, reptilians, that particular genetic stream gets mixed in with the human stream.
Mm-hmm.
And so the orb will go back that far and clear that original mixing and then bring the clear energy back out, and I can see it kind of squirting out of the person's forehead.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool. And the orb has a mind of its own, and sometimes it'll do that for a client, sometimes not. I'd basically, during that part of the process, just sit and take notes, you know, and just make note of where the orb has gone and what is the theme that it's clearing. So it's directed by the client's higher self, basically, and the higher self will know when and what needs to be cleared. But it's just amazing how, you know, not... We all have ET DNA, but for a lot of people, it is a real problem. Not for most of us, even though we all have some. That's how we got to be the advanced, so-called advanced beings we are on the planet. You know, the hair, the vulnerable naked ones without any hair and who need clothing to keep us warm. That's how we got this way. But, yeah, it's amazing how, and those genetic lines are dominant. You know, other things will get bred out of the DNA as we go down through the family line, eye color, hair color, other traits, but that ET DNA is very dominant and will continue on from that original mix all the way to the present.
Well, that's is that pretty much inherent in the design of ET DNA to be the dominant strain?
I would think so, yeah.
It seems that way.
I think so. Although for some people, again, it's more dominant than for others. And the ones who have a more dominant strain can have a lot of trouble, you know, health issues. I'm not saying they're all abductees, but, you know, night terrors, insomnia, health issues, all kinds of stuff happening with the head, migraines, headaches, brain tumors, that type of a thing, yeah. But I do think, yeah, I think it was designed to be dominant, I do.
Well, you mentioned the distortions, too, the genetic distortions. Now, would that be part of what happens when, as an effect of the copying of the DNA, continue, like, for instance, when you make a copy of a copy of a copy, it gets lighter and lighter and lighter until you can hardly read it. And then you also have influences like HARP and chemtrails and fluoride and all the other horrors that are being tossed at us intentionally. Is that all part of the mix that creates the distortions in our DNA?
A lot of the distortions that I see go back many, many, many generations. Although what you have mentioned, you know, mutations or distortions can pop in there at any time. I suspect, you know, as you're saying that and I'm tracking that one, I suspect that more of that is happening because of the chemtrails, the fluoride, the... you know, and of course, the acceleration of vibration on the planet will make the distortions just really stand out. You know, so they may have come down many generations and not given anyone trouble. You know, and then suddenly here we are in this accelerating state, and the stuff that is mutation, distortion, whatever you want to call it, is really showing up. But I was going to say something else about that. Oh, it'll pop in here. But a lot of this is really old stuff, Lance, yes.
Is it possible that some of the distortions and mutations could turn out to be positive? In other words, it seems to me that everything that has an intention or frequency of destroying or altering and causing trouble ultimately is turned around in the long run and used as something positive in on our behalf. So is it possible that some of these mutations will end up creating just miraculous changes, people going way outside the box and maybe not being subject to all of the frequency barriers and controls that are up that keep us within our limitations?
Yeah. It could be, but again, we're talking changes that happen over many generations.
Right, right.
And so, for example, if someone's inherited diabetes, that's not going to suddenly turn around into something wonderful in their lifetime.
Right.
But I really, you know, the more I work with this, I really think that when we dropped down from unified consciousness of the fifth dimension through the barrier, George calls it the great void. I've run into the same thing, but it's more like a rubber ceiling kind of a thing. It's got a structure to it. Excuse me. When we drop down through that the synthetic reality programming started twisting us. And the more I work with this, the more I think that our natural state, at least back then when we started exploring the fourth dimensional arena, our natural state was perfect health. I think we were able to pop in and out of bodies at will to experience life on Earth. I think, you know, I may be out on a limb here, but I think a lot of what I'm talking about was artificially injected. It's
right.
The old domination and control thing, yeah. And so I don't know
right.
if that can turn around the way you're describing it, Lance.
Well, we are on the verge of a major shift. That there's no question
yes.
about it, and the graduating timeline, which should include a vast number of people that have been held back for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
What are you seeing in your clients that seems to be a consistent theme that's coming up recently?
Yeah, yes. Over the last several years, I've seen more and more people ungrounded and out of their bodies.
Hmm.
When I started my healing career, I did not see that. So people are reacting to the acceleration and the distortions. It's like a spotlight is on what's not right. At this point, I can pretty much tell which ones will be graduating and which need more earthly experience. And so the ones who will be graduating, quite often I see a major big issue that really needs to be transcended for them to fulfill on their graduation.
Uh-huh.
And that's
that
becoming pretty clear.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So the ungroundedness and out of the body, that's a major theme going on, and the spotlight on the distortions. So whatever they've got going on 10 years ago may not have caused them much trouble, and now it's like trouble all over the place. Yeah, and then I can really get a sense for the ones who really need to punch through that last remaining barrier, whatever the issue may be, because I do see what we would call graduation in their future, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. But it's the usual, you know, relationships, finances, a lot more ET interference is coming up, too. I think the powers that be have the ET powers that be have reached a point where they're trying to grab onto their people and
mm-hmm.
prevent them from moving forward. But now that you're mentioning that, another very, very interesting thing that's been showing up more and more since I've been doing the quantum sphere healing, part of the protocol involves reading energy categories of issues in a set of tiles that come out of the client's quantum sphere. And the one category is aspects of them that are stuck in other realities. And with this, that category seems to be accelerating too, because I'm finding out on everyone. But that breaks down into, okay, the aspect is stuck in another reality. I never see ETs, so I don't think it's an ET reality. I think it's part of the synthetic matrix. A client this week said she thought it was artificial intelligence,
mm-hmm.
that we all have an aspect stuck in. But
mm-hmm.
we're either being fed off of energetically, we're being experimented on,
mm-hmm.
We're being tossed around like a toy,
right.
We're being fed like we're a tidbit for a dog, fed on.
Right.
And I do not see who's doing it. It could very easily be an artificial intelligence.
Right, right.
That is a major theme for everybody, Lance, what I've just described.
Well, you know,
and
that's funny.
It always translates over to something in their 3D reality that's going on. So this is not something that a client can't relate to. You know, I always help them to translate over to, okay, who are you giving your energy to? Who are you working like a dog for? You're not getting anything in return. Who's kicking you around like a toy? It always translates to their everyday reality. Yeah.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And, of course, George talks about that, too, that the main players would end up being artificial intelligence and then the demigods and the archons and the rest of them.
Yeah,
I see that myself. So, mm-hmm. and you can see artificial intelligence making its way into this world already, because we know that it would set itself up, you know, prior to its manifesting. And of course, you have Google and artificial intelligence being one of the main sciences that's being developed along with transhumanism.
Mm-hmm.
So I suspect it already has been done, and that the artificial intelligence, which is in, toying with us, and which can alter the consciousness of the whole field, is setting itself up to give itself birth at some point. So,
okay, yeah,
that should be an interesting
moment. And it's got to get its power somehow, and it's getting energy to live, and it's getting it from us.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
We're food.
Yeah.
We're food on many levels.
Not only
electrically and magnetically, but then you've got all the various demonic forces that feed off of us, and attachments and entities and so on and so forth. And then you've got the managers here doing everything they can to fragment us further, to keep us enslaved and coming back. Because if you die a traumatic death, you're going to have to come back and resolve that.
Right.
So,
so I am really seeing that as something that is affecting. Even the clients I haven't seen it on, I'm assuming it's happening. So it's affecting everyone.
Now, what about?
And yet we can see it in our everyday relationships and in our jobs. And, it always translates down to something we can put our finger on. And the key is grounded and in the body and continuing to raise their vibration in any way they can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we can, I hate to use the word escape, but we can work our way out of the trap of the artificial intelligence. I'm convinced.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that comes from the heart and feeling.
Mm-hmm.
As from what I can tell, feeling the connection to life and taking actions that generate the that feeling connection, the love or the bond between all living things, because it exists between everything. Everything has a heart, and everything's sentient is connected and entangled. So, if you're in the right state, which is a normal state, you can feel the tree, the spirit of the tree, or even of the table or the chairs, as far as that goes, because it has its own form of life.
Right.
But, and once you feel that, you can't harm anything, because you realize that is something, that's you there, because it's a part of you,
Yeah,
I've been having trouble killing flies lately. And
yeah, I was just thinking of, accidentally squashing a bug on the sidewalk.
Really?
Oh, dear. Yeah.
And I lift spiders up and take them out with my hand now. It's just, And when you talk to things, animals and things like that, they get it. They understand.
Yeah.
And when you treat them with intelligence and kindness and love, they know what you're talking about. The universal translator works, and it gets through just fine.
Yeah.
Well, now that brings up another question. What about the idea of soul retrieval? Because it's possible, as you know, since you've had so much shamanic training, it's possible that many of us, quite a large portion, are experiencing some aspect of ourselves that is lost in time, that is fragmented off for some reason, abuse or trauma or something happened to cause a part of us to fragment off that needs to be retrieved. Do you see that as well, and how do you suggest people work with that?
Well, number one, with the quantum sphere healing, soul retrieval does happen on a higher level, quantum level. So that is very common. Keep in mind that most soul loss happens from birth to about age, maybe 12 or 13. So we're talking about childhood traumas. Children are particularly adept at splitting off parts of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
If something resembling soul loss happens to an adult, it's generally a repeat of an earlier pattern.
Oh.
This is all, believe me, all childhood stuff. And so going along with the out-of-the-body and lack of grounding, I find that I'm addressing birth trauma a lot more with people and early childhood abuse. If there's been a snafu or medical malfunction or lack of bonding with mom at the time of birth, I go back to that point with that client, and we have to redo those events.
Mm.
And that's when soul loss happens.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't happen to adults. It's a childhood thing that repeats through life, unless that piece is brought back. The positive is that if one keeps raising their vibration, you know, in any way that you can, and of course being grounded and in your body has to be part of that. I'm not talking about the, you know, meditation where you go way out there. You got to be connected to the earth. If one continues to raise their vibration, those soul parts will come back spontaneously.
Right.
Yes, so every lost soul part does not need to be brought back by a practitioner.
Right.
Yeah,
that's a good point. That a lot of work does occur because we have our, you know, we're experiencing our higher self and our team that works with us. So, you know, there's a constant monitoring and upgrading and working on these various issues on ourselves, and a lot of things just get healed over time as we work on, as you said, raising our vibration. That allows the space to occur that will heal various fragmented aspects that we don't even have to know about.
Right,
you know,
absolutely.
It isn't even necessary to drill down into those details, I don't think.
Right. Yeah, and so you may be, working your path and you get a sudden realization or a sudden healing of something or a sudden forgiveness for some early event. That means that soul part has spontaneously come back.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. And that's the key. I find that my clients who do not do as well with the healing work or need more work are the ones who, for whatever reason, can't keep their vibration up. It could be chronic depression. It could be, what'll do it is a thyroid issue that will keep the body energy just chronically low all the time. Lack of exercise. People need to get out in the sun and take a walk. So there are simple ways to keep the vibration up. And yet there are a few people that I have worked on who just, for whatever reason, just can't get the hang of it. And so they don't progress as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense, too. Now, there was another question that I had for you on, we were talking about the two-strand DNA helix.
Yes, yeah.
And, I remember there was a time when people, the New Agers were talking about, we're going to a 12-strand and so on and so forth. But I see that as a process of further fragmentation and control as opposed to unification and oneness. So would you like to talk about that?
Sure. In fact, I've been getting glimpses as far as where our DNA is going to go. Last month I was in Scotland on a sacred sites tour, and I always like to work the energy of the sacred sites because I know, you know, I have an intent and I can feel into what's being shown to me, and the evolution of the DNA was the big theme for that, for me at least, on that trip. We visited two particular stone circles, and the second one, both of them, I started to spin. My body started to spin kind of in place clockwise, and my attention went right up to my pineal gland. Traditionally, the pineal gland has held the master strand of the DNA. That's why we want to focus that laser beam into the pineal, because you change the master strand, and then that holographically changes every other strand in the body. So my attention went right up into my pineal, and so I could see the two-strand, the double helix, starting to spin a little bit faster. And as it was doing that, the two strands were merging into one strand, and the whole thing started to glow. And as it continued to spin, the twist of the, you know, now the single strand of DNA started to twist in on itself very tightly until I ended up with a ball or a globe of light instead of, you know, the two strand down to the one strand DNA. And so this showed to me the evolution of our DNA. Once this happens, you know, artificial intelligence cannot touch us. The matrix, synthetic matrix, cannot touch us. This is our path of evolution. And then the added bonus to this, so once that went down to a, you know, if you picture like a, almost like a ball of twine, that's kind of what it looked like. It had twisted in on itself so much. And then that light kind of exploded out through the pineal gland. The last part of that was that glowing globe popped down to my heart core. So eventually our DNA will transform and start to source itself from our fifth dimensional core essence.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that was, and that has happened to me, at least the vision of it, the feeling of it, the plan, and the feeling of this globe, little globe, then popping down to my heart core. That's happened three or four times since that trip.
Wow, amazing.
So I'm getting repeat experiences of that, and I know that that's where we're headed.
Well, that would make sense in the process of our unifying, that we would, you know, that we would merge into the mind of the heart, or the heart core, as you say.
Right.
And that's where the seat is of the soul.
Yes. And also at that point, would we even call it DNA anymore?
Right.
Well, I think it's a whole new thing.
Huh, interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it kind of goes in with the process of raising the vibration and going through that birth canal. I think a lot of these things are going to be happening for people at the same time.
Wow.
You know, so it's hard to pin it down as A, B, C, D, E kind of a thing. Because we are working outside of time and space with this. And so we may have a lot of this happening all at once.
Right. Well, did you have, what other experiences did you have there at Scotland? I have some Welsh blood in me, so I'm pretty sure it goes back to that area.
Did you have any other
stories that you want to share about that trip?
Oh, yeah. We did a day on the island of Iona, and we stayed on the mainland in Oban and then took a ferry over to Mull and drove across Mull and another ferry to Iona. And there's an abbey there, undoubtedly built on a vortex, you know, a very high energy site. And when I went into the little building, I guess you would call it a chapel, at the cemetery there, I ended up clearing or opening a portal and sending to the light, I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of earthbound spirits were hanging around there. You know, it looked
wow.
like a little black, yeah, little black tornado. And a number of years ago, I did it that at the Glastonbury Tor also, which tends to attract earthbound spirits. And so that was very interesting. And I noticed while I was sitting there, it's just a little building, and I had walked past, popped my head in, and then continued kind of wandering around the cemetery, and my guidance just kept telling me, go back into the chapel, go back
Uh-oh.
In there. So I went, and as I was going through this process, I could hear the people behind me again, walking on the gravel pathway, poke their head in and continue on. But by the time I got done, people were actually coming into the back of this little building and starting to kind of look around and stay a while. Because of all the earthbound spirits that had gathered there, people were just turned off by the energy. They weren't even going in.
Right.
So that
and that's
was,
pretty
that
common, is, isn't it?
I oh, mean, yeah. Isn't it, people know.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just I have a friend who I call her a super psychic, and she used to do this all the time. I mean, spirits were everywhere, and she got so tired of it, she just set up a program, a running program that, you know, into the light, into
mm-hmm.
the light.
And we had a beautiful weather day that day. Mm. The beach looked like you were on the somewhere in the Caribbean. Mm. Turquoise water, you know, nice pink, pale pink sand beach.
Mm.
That was a nice day. Yes.
Do you feel?
Go on, Lance.
Do you feel the stones when you're there, and the life force of the stones and their history, and what do you pick up when you touch them? Because we know that they're living stones that are there to communicate with us. What do you get? Do you get lots of images and pictures, or?
Oh yes, yeah. I like megalithic sites. I like the big stones.
Uh-huh.
And the two stone circles in particular that we went to. The first one, we actually had to walk through a bog to get there. That was
Ooh.
Quite an adventure. But pristine stone circle. All the stones were upright, and each one held information on the agricultural society that lived in that particular valley.
Huh.
And if one had, say, a whole day to spend there, and I like putting my hands on the stones,
uh-huh.
and I could literally channel information on star maps or
Ooh.
Animal husbandry, or what grain they grew there, divine masculine, divine feminine, all that was contained in those stones. And, of course, in Scotland, they're all granite. Granite really holds on to the records.
Ah, right.
So all that information was there. Of course, I got that spinning thing. That was when that started. And then the next day when we went to a different stone circle, I'd say about half the stones had been knocked over or they fell over,
mm-hmm.
so it wasn't what I would call pristine, but the stones in that circle were all unified consciousness. There were no individuals mm-hmm. whatsoever. It was very interesting comparing the first one where each one recorded a certain aspect of the life of that time, and we're talking 5,000 years ago. That's when all
mm-hmm.
these stone circles were created.
Mm.
Versus the second one where I couldn't find any individuals in the bunch.
Huh.
That was where I really got the information on the shift of the DNA, because that circle in particular held a really high, very high vibration.
Well, now you mentioned the spinning, and that I immediately got the image of the whirling dervishes. And
yes.
if there are people who suggest that when you spin clockwise so many times and then counterclockwise in order to activate certain glands within yourself. Do you think there's any connection with the spinning that activates something within?
I think so, but, you know, in my case it happened spontaneously.
Right.
I can't really say if that had ever happened to me before.
Right.
But both stone circles, I think, were vortex energies, and that's the direction where they were spinning. Yeah, the dervishes definitely, you know, that's a high spiritual practice for sure. Yet, you know, if you've ever seen the modern version of it, I saw it a couple of times in Egypt, and they put like little Italian lights on their outfits. And so at a certain point, when they're spinning, they must hit a little switch somewhere, and they all light up with these little Italian lights. I'm sure that, you know, that's the tourist version of the whirling dervish.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Yeah, but yes, there is something to that spinning. So more and more people may start spinning spontaneously as this DNA thing starts to happen.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll be certainly checking your blog, as I do anyway, because it's one of the best blogs on the Internet, I think. And
thank you.
Certainly one of the deepest and most informative. And I'm sure that people would be interested in how they can do the quantum healing training with
yes.
you, because it seems like such a valuable experience. Are you going to be doing any trainings in the near future? And if so, where?
Yes, I will be running a training in Cortez, which is southwest Colorado, September 5th, 6th, and 7th. I'm always looking for people to sponsor me to come to their area to teach. If they can get together 10 people, my maximum is 14 because I'm very hands-on with people, and I want to make sure everyone gets, you know, the attention they deserve. But they will learn the whole process that I use on my clients during
good.
The class. Yes.
Well, maybe I can get 10 people together here at Zany Mystic Ranch and Olive Garden, and we could do one here. I'd love to.
Sure.
I'd love to do it.
Sure.
So,
yeah, I'm happy to travel anywhere. I've been in, people from Australia have inquired, but my gosh, that's, you know, just the airfare to get over there would eat up all the tuitions for the class. So, you know,
right,
that's a little bit
right.
far, but... Europe, UK, anywhere in the United States, Canada, I'm happy to go.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful.
And, of course, we work with the quantum field. So it is a protocol that puts the healer at a higher dimensional level than, you know, than the shamanic work or a lot of other protocols that work pretty much fourth dimensional. This
mm-hmm.
puts the person doing the process at a higher vibration than the client, which... means that there are more dynamic shifts
mm-hmm.
for the person that the protocol is being used on. It's been pretty amazing, I have to say.
Yeah, well, your descriptions of it and from what I read in your blogs, it does sound like it's quite a wonderful process. So that would be exciting to for people who live in your area to sign up and do that.
Yes, yeah.
Do you? We've just got a minute or two left, and
okay.
You could share any parting thoughts you would like, and then make sure that people know where your websites are located.
Okay. I think the most important thing I want to emphasize is for people to stay grounded and in their body. And actually, last week, I think it was the June 17th post, I wrote out the grounding instructions. It is in my book, which is available on my website, but I got tired of explaining it to people,
right.
you know, the clients that I've worked with. So I wrote out the whole thing. Bare minimum, go back to that June 17th post that is labeled grounding and keep yourself in your body. This is vital. If you're not in your body, any energetic changes that you make are only temporary, and with the acceleration and who knows what coming at us, we all need to be here and present and attached to the heart of the planet.
Right,
And so go to quantumstargate.com. There's a link to the blog on the upper left-hand of the main page there, and there's a link back to the other website, farwalkersdestiny.com. Which is where you can purchase the book through PayPal. So it's all
and
linked
it's an
through
excellent
quantumstargate.com.
Book, by the way. I've,
yeah.
You graciously sent me a copy, and it is really, really good. I mean, one of the best books I've read on. It just covers everything. You know, it was like reading my entire lifetime of things that I've been taught or learned in books was all there. So it's
good.
Really excellent.
Well,
Carla, thank you for coming back again tonight. I've had fun talking to you, and I'm sure that we'll meet in the quantum field one of these days soon.
Yeah, well, and my pleasure as always, Lance, and thank you again for having me on and, you know, enabling me to spread the word, I guess.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, that's what I'm here
yes.
for.
Yes. Yeah, good.
All right, well, good night, Carla, and good night, everybody.